Welcome back. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. My guest today is Colin Gunn. That's G-U-N-N. His website is indoctrinationmovie.com, and he has produced a movie. It's wonderful. It's called Indoctrination, Public Schools, and the Decline of Christianity in America. Now, it's just one of the movies that he's produced, but that's the one that we are talking about today in regard to public education. And it's kind of interesting that by 1888, the Senate Committee on Education produced a 1,382-page document to define the purpose of mass education. And now their purposes were, according to that document, to impose conformity and subordination, restrain natural curiosity through, and I quote, anti-intellectual shift in schooling under compulsory regulatory standards. Okay, so that was the whole purpose of education, was to make everybody the same, to conform, to be subordinate, to restrain natural curiosity, and to produce a bunch of workers and soldiers to be obedient to the government.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so in our film, we cover some of that as we travel across the country. We show the motive behind people like, Horace Mann, and particularly interesting when we get into the evolutionary view of Mann in the 1800s, we start to see a difference between the child, how the child was viewed by the founding fathers and others, and how the child was to become viewed in our current system. And so what used to be understood of the child, you know, with the understanding of sin in the heart of the child and being brought to maturity by training and discipline, that was what we used to think. And then the evolutionists came along and started to look at how children could be shaped and programmed. And so you started to see almost experimentation, in fact, real experimentation through psychology and even chemicals to make this new culture, this brave new world, which would involve shaping children to bring in this new America, which they were all looking for. And, of course, that new America for them involved, to some extent, is stepping away from the Christian worldview that largely did shape the nation.
Right. Now, you mentioned Thorndike earlier, Edward L. Thorndike, and he equated children with rats, monkeys, and other animals. And he applied his science, which really de-emphasized traditional educational basics, to the training of teachers. Now, you have to have, in order to have students, you have to have, in order to have students that come out the way that they want them to, you have to train all those teachers to teach these students a certain way. And they focused on certain, first they focused on the six-year period of elementary education and the experience for students. And basically, they treated them like, guinea pigs. And they also introduced psychological training or psychological testing.
Absolutely. And psychology plays a huge part now in your modern education system. And so, what people think, well, the math teacher is just going to be teaching math. But his training as a teacher, a large part of it would have constituted philosophy. And a lot of it comes from this Thorndike. And then there was others like B.F. Skinner, who came along with just some crazy notions about how the child should learn. A lot of these people were very radical atheists. They completely bought into evolution and used this and just saw these children as animals that could be shaped, just like Pavlov. And Pavlov is an example of someone who experimented on animals and also children. And so this, when you look at the public schools and how they control people, that's what that culture wants, is children that are Pavlovian in their response to things.
Right. All righty, we're going to a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes with our guest today. And be right back.
Thank you. What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Colin Gunn. And, you know, centralized banking devastates a nation's economy, but exclusive control of education is considerably more dangerous, but ultimately more effective in the management of the population. Author Gary Allen said, and I quote, "Those who control education will, over a period of several generations, control a nation," unquote. And I believe that he's correct, because basically what you're imposing on students are things that you want them to know, things that you want them to believe. You're giving them their entire perception of the way life works. By withholding history, you are basically changing and altering culture totally.
Yeah, how you teach reflects your worldview. And, of course, the problem is that we think that there's some neutrality there when you teach math, English, or science in a particular way, or history, you know, it's just facts and people learn them. But that's not true. Really, the facts have to be in the context. In the Christian context, you know, facts reflect God's glory. So when we talk about science, the purpose of that knowledge isn't just so that we're smart or we're smarter than we used to be. The purpose of gaining that knowledge is that we glorify God more. That's why he gives us these facts. As we look at the trees outside and the beautiful blue sky, the result of that shouldn't just be I have knowledge. The result should be I glorify my Creator, because that's a wonderful thing. The problem in the public schools is that neutrality leads to a practical atheism. Even if they're not explicit about what they're teaching as though they are atheists and unbelievers, and that has a huge impact on the lives of the children that hear it. And so when they hear history, you're not taught history. As a Christian would teach it, that God controls history and he destroys nations, that he raises up nations, that he deals with the blessings and curses according to his law. What we hear in the public schools is that these facts are kind of random. They just happen. You know, they don't have real meaning. They're just facts that you need to learn. And so that's a whole different type of education. And the sin of omission is the big sin there, that they imply that God is irrelevant to all of these subjects.
And of course, they've withheld much of history and have rewritten it so that people will be more obedient and more acquiescent to the objectives that government has now. I mean, they've totally glorified war, and which is so egregious, and they've militarized the nation completely. And that occurred right after what I call Lincoln's War. But it's very interesting, the study of education. And when you really look at it, it's pretty horrific. I just can't imagine why anybody would put their children into a government school, because why would you trust the government to do something, with the young minds of your children? I mean, it's just, not a good thing.
See, you know, when you control history, you know, you control really what people think about history and how our society is structured. Then you really do control the future path of how America is going to play out. So if you can convince people that the Federal Reserve is no big deal, that abortion is no big deal, it's a right, and then you teach every ideology, that's carried on. And so we cannot deal as conservatives or Christians with any of these issues like abortion or homosexuality or any of the issues that we're trying to, you know, deal with in our culture if we don't deal with the public schools first, because we all know the generations that are coming up are more liberal and more politically inclined towards these things that we disagree with.
Right. Now, you mentioned homosexuality, and in the movie you had a scene where the teacher was explaining, what was she doing? Basically giving the children a choice, where you had two scenarios. Got to get my cat off the desk here. She's very distracting. You had a scene where the teacher was giving the children the opportunity to say, okay, this person who is homosexual, should he have a right to be the way he is? And this other person is straight or not. And basically you showed the teacher as saying or implying that homosexuality was something that just happened, and that children, and these were little children, eight, 9 years old, and they were to write down their opinions about whether homosexuality.
Describing
that accurately?
Yeah. So what we're seeing in that footage is an example of the values clarification that they do in the public schools. So it's not always as explicit as that, you know, that's a good example where they come in, and what they do is they just ask questions, you know. They don't always come out and be bold and say, your parents believe this and that's wrong, you should believe this. What they'll do is they'll introduce the idea of something that the child hasn't heard about. And then they'll ask questions, do you think that's fair? Because some people think it's this, and some people think it's that. And soon the child is shaped towards the worldview that they're trying to present. And, of course, if you open your child up to that, all these ideologies that are coming down from the Department of Education, that it does include every, political ideology that is being pushed, and one of them is the homosexual agenda. And we see that in this case, where we're seeing these young, very young children who shouldn't know anything about this subject are introduced to the idea of homosexual marriage and all the rest of it. And it's done in this way that is presented as though, well, we're just asking questions, we're just thinking about it, and we're bringing in this idea of these homosexuals as victims and all the rest of it. And it's to shape the child and change the culture. And so when we look at the Department of Education, you realize education, true education, you know, all the science, the math, English, that's not their priority. This is their priority. that's what they want, to change culture. It's not just the homosexual issue, it's environmentalism, or general socialism, collectivism, all those isms that as Christian families we tend to oppose.
Right. And you also have the herd mentality in school, where a child that opposes a particular idea is really not going to raise their hand to dissent because of that herd mentality. And I think that's deliberate, of course.
Yeah, when you got young children sitting in a classroom being introduced to something they've never heard of and are confused, there's this deliberate confusion, ethical confusion that's brought into their hearts, which, you know, no parent wants that. And so they see the children that go to the public schools, they start to change and start to rebel, and then you've got the problems of adolescence that we hear about, where the parents are actually start to be despised. You know, we had in Texas, you would think it would be better. You know, it's a conservative, more conservative state. But you know, I get phone calls from people. I got one recently of a man who sent his kid to the school, and the book that she sent home with is this sexually explicit book, where particularly undermines the character of the father. You know, that's the focus. So, you know, the dad's mean, dad's abusive. You know, she gets solace with her companions, you know, away from him and all the rest of it. And so there's a motivation there to undermine. And of course, the fathers, I read about this, but the father submitted the child to that school and is responsible essentially for it, because he allowed his child to be taught by someone else. And when you do that, you don't know what you're going to get.
Right. And basically, you have to understand that the teacher works for the government. And so if a child has a bruise, perhaps if the child fell down or something has a bruise, they could really exploit that situation and go so far as to bring in the child services. Is that correct?
Right. So that happens. You know, the schools themselves also avoid responsibility for your child when they are in trouble. So, you know, the sexual assaults and the violence that happens in the public schools, that'll be your fault. And then, you know, we're seeing this all the time, where the public schools don't take liability because of the government. You know, you can't go up against City Hall. You can't really deal with, you're not allowed in the classroom. You're not allowed full information. So you're as a parent, are treated as the second-class citizen. Whereas the experts, the teachers, and truthfully, this big problem that we see, where the hearts of mind, the allegiance of the children goes towards their peers and the authority that they see most of, and that's often not the home where they should really be respecting the authority.
Yes, that's true. That is absolutely true. Children do gravitate towards their peers and want acceptance from their peers rather than their parents. And I believe you're correct in saying that the school really kind of ignites this kind of mentality.
Yeah, so the schools are playing this party of a surrogate parent, but of course they're not equipped to do that, and they don't do what they should be doing as a parent, which is loving the child, nurturing the child, bringing the child to maturity, and instructing the child. They're really, you know, all these public school teachers, as nice as the nice ones are, they're really still there for a paycheck. You know, if you didn't pay them, they wouldn't be there. Homeschoolers, on the other hand, will do what they need to do regardless of the income or lack of it. And so that's the difference in terms of motivation for their children. And so I really do exhort those that use the public schools to realize, no, God has commissioned you to educate that child, not the state. And the state, at the end of it, won't do a good job. In fact, the harm will vastly outweigh the money that you would save by, you know, not using a Christian school or homeschooling.
Right. And it's very interesting, in getting back to the Rockefellers and those people. I mean, they gave millions and millions of dollars to create, for instance, the General Board of Education, Rockefeller's General Board of Education. And of course, when they spend millions and millions of dollars, then they expect to make all of the rules. Alrighty, we do have to go to a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes, so stay tuned.
Modern medicine has given doctors miraculous powers. Using 21st century imaging technology, surgeons can peer inside the human body in extraordinary detail. Unfortunately for patients, there's virtually no transparency in the billing process. Too often, patients agree to surgical procedures without understanding the full cost of treatment. But all that is about to change. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is revolutionizing medicine with affordable surgical procedures and completely transparent pricing. Their board-certified surgeons perform over 7,000 surgeries per year at a fraction of the cost charged by traditional providers. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is perfect for individuals without insurance and people with high deductible plans. If you have a health savings account or self-funded plan, you should definitely consider our services. We even welcome patients from Canada and around the world. Check out our website for all-inclusive pricing at surgerycenterok.com. That's surgerycenterok.com. Or give us a call at 405-475-0678.
Do you want to be free yet find that credit card payments are still tying you down? Does it seem like you're not getting anywhere month after month, payment after payment? Do you wish that there was some way to end the slavery and save your money for your family instead? FreeToProsper.com has a solution you've been waiting for. Since 2007, we've been implementing an advanced debt repudiation program which legally ends unsecured debt payments, lets you keep your money, and protects your property. This is not another settlement, repayment, or consolidation program, but a true debt repudiation process that's helped hundreds of Americans all across the country start living better quality lives and prepare for an uncertain future. For a free consultation or to learn more, give us a call today at 877-417-8393 or visit freetoprosper.com right now. That's 877-417-8393 or visit freetoprosper.com.
Do you need that sustained boost of energy, but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks? Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A one-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Colin Gunn, and his website is indoctrinationmovie.com. And I was mentioning about the General Education Board, and it was designed to accomplish certain ends. And in as much as Rockefeller and some of these other people were putting in so much money, they were basically shaping society. And that's what they use their foundations for, is to shape society so that we would all be very obedient and accept a one-world governance. And of course, what better way of doing that is through the public school system. And so that's where he put his money, is into education, because that is where it would do so much good. Why don't we take some calls? Let's take Mark in Louisiana. Mark, welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon. It is so nice to hear this gentleman, because he is really on the mark on just about everything. I think things in the government school are as bad as he says, and in fact even worse, which I'm sure that he has thought about it, but he doesn't have the time to describe all the evils of the of the government school. But I think every parent who has a modicum of interest in the welfare of his children should go to his website, because I think we should talk about the evils of the government schools, because I can't find as many evils that there are, you know, that we're facing. I think this is really the greatest. brought about by people who have been at it for 2,000 years. These conspirators didn't just, you know, rose up yesterday. They've been at it for centuries. And, of course, they've gotten good at it simply because they've been at it for, such a long time. So God bless you both. You're doing this country and the world a great service.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mark's right. I mean, Mark is saying something we hear often, and that is that we don't go far enough and that the schools are much worse. You know who we hear that from most of all are the public school teachers, and so we're always kind of concerned about how they would react to our message. We're not attacking them, but they often come to us when they see our film and say, oh, you don't know how bad it is, and, you know, our school has, you know, six girls pregnant and this going on and this happened last year and all those things, that all this real evil that is there in the public schools. We can't chronicle it all, but we mentioned some of it. But really, yeah, it is really bad. So Mark's right. You know, we could go on and on and on about all the horrible things that happen, but I like to focus people on the solution. The solution is just take your kids out and homeschool. That's my solution.
Right. You know, the other thing that I have noted in children, particularly as they get to be 12 and 13, 14, is their clothing. And the clothes that they wear to, that they wear to school are absolutely so revealing. And it's disgraceful.
Well, what we're seeing there is the culture that's imposed on a child, where the peers dictate the culture in the school. Of course, peers make the worst decisions, and so they get competitive. And one of the areas they're more competitive on is the modesty issue, or the lack of it. And so what we're seeing are these young girls competing not just for respect amongst their peers, but also competing for boys. This is a huge problem, which obviously homeschooling is the solution to this, where you're not around the opposite sex, you're not in that sexually competitive environment that you get in the public schools. And truthfully, if you want your daughter to be that, the public schools are the way to go. That is the result. That is going to happen. Some of the schools are stricter, where they had uniforms and all the rest of it, but really, that is an issue. And what your daughter or your son will be exposed to will be things that are just horrendous. It's the most heartbreaking story when we hear it of these young girls who are sexualized at this young age and introduced to dating and all the rest of it before they're ready. And this is something that the church is submitted to by allowing your children to go into that environment.
Wow. You talked about the competitiveness. And, you know, typically when you think of school and competitiveness, you think of grades and getting the best grades in the class and being a straight-A student and that kind of thing. But basically you brought up the competitiveness for boyfriends or girlfriends, and oh my goodness. And of course this also has something to do with the media. I mean, the media, between the media and the educational system, you have children who are growing up way, way, way too fast and learning way more than you want them to know. And you can't control it. If you allow somebody else to take care of of educating your child, or if you allow them to watch indiscriminately, a large number of hours on TV. I mean, I got rid of the TV when my kids were little.
Right, and so the children are introduced to whatever the media is introducing their worst peer to. So whatever you don't allow in the home, it doesn't matter. The children are being introduced to it by their peers, and of course, there's always that family or a group of families who don't share your values and allow their children to access it. And of course, the problem right now is the smartphones and the introduction of all those things to these young minds, because the media is right there in the hands of their peers, and so there's just no escape from it unless you do what we do, which is to separate from them. And we separate not to be better. You know, the Bible says keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's why we do it.
Oh, right. Sure does. All righty, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back, and we invite you to call 800-313-9443.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And welcome back. Our guest today is Colin Gunn, and his movie is Indoctrination, Public Schools, and the Decline of Christianity in America. It is a must-watch video. I would buy a copy of it or two and be sure and share it with anybody that has children or has had children. It's just a really great movie. Let's take another call. Let's take Arthur in Georgia.
Miss Bengola, Mr. Gunn, how are you doing today?
Good.
Hi, Arthur.
I always have to do a little greeting thing to make sure that we got that connection going on. You know, as I'm sitting here listening to the conversation, I'm just about wanting to beat my head against the wall. And I think back about 3 years ago, my wife and I, of course, we've been separated for a couple of years now, but when we were together, her youngest at that time was 16 years old. And she was basically, she was a 10th grader, getting ready to finish the 10th grade. And she said, "Mom, Dad," and she'd been homeschooled her entire life. She come to us one day and said, "Next year I'd like to try public school." And, of course, we sat down and we talked to her about how we felt about the public school and all of this. But we told her, we said, "We've taught you right from wrong. We've taught you to think for yourself. And if you want to try this, then we'll support you. But it's up to you." So we went ahead and we enrolled her the next year in a public school. And about a month later, she comes. And I'm sorry, I have to laugh, but it's funny when you got a 17-year-old telling you this. She comes home from school and she says, "I can't do this." Okay, what's wrong? Well, she was in a political science class, and she said, I forget what the conversation was, but it had something to do with lawmaking and legislation. And she said she raised her hand in the class, and the teacher called on her, and she said, when you talk about these things, and she immediately went to the Constitution for the United States of America, and she laid out the argument for the teacher. And the teacher looked her straight in the face and told her, the Constitution doesn't apply. And she said, I looked at that teacher, or no, she said it was irrelevant. She said, I looked at the teacher and she said, how can you sit there and tell me that when it says clearly in the Constitution that this Constitution should be the supreme law of the land, and she went on to cite the whole sentence, she said, how can you tell me it's irrelevant? She said, in this course, the Constitution is irrelevant. And she looked at me, she said, Dad, now I know, since I've seen it with my own eyes, what you mean when you say that the public school system produces nothing but functional illiterates. And if that's the kind of people I got to deal with, I'd rather not go there. That's a 17-year-old girl.
Sounds like a very, very bright 17-year-old girl.
Well, she's been in college now for 2 years, paying her own way. She's not asked mom or dad for one penny, and she's top of her class. Her teachers love her. She's right on the money, and she's getting great grades.
That is wonderful.
I'll tell you what, my wife did an excellent job raising that girl. I'm proud of her. And I just wish, you know, when I read articles like one RBN show got me to reading an article about the lady who the school threw the child's lunch out and gave her some garbage nugget.
Oh, is that terrible?
And Alan Watt, on his show last week, I believe it was talking about, kindergartens playing touchy-feely under the desk in the classes and all of this stuff. And I'm wondering, you know, why are parents putting up with this garbage?
Exactly. Why? Why are they putting up with this?
You got the schools telling you that they're going to determine what's healthy for your children to eat. It's normal. I mean, we hear these so-called child psychologists telling us, as Alan Watt pointed out on his program last week, these so-called child psychology experts telling us it's normal for a five-year-old to want to touch a familiar adult, and it's normal for children to be having sex in school and all of this. And I'm thinking, how much farther down the moral scale can we as a nation slide?
Well, the parents have given their children's minds to the school, and I guess the body would naturally follow. Colin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Arthur's very perceptive, and you know, the sad thing is that Arthur, you know, that his daughter didn't go into the schools till she was, to some extent, equipped to handle the debate. Even then, it's very hard as a 17-year-old to go up against real authority, and the teacher exercises absolute authority in the classroom, and they're difficult to question, especially if you're a child. The sad thing is we're sending these children at a much younger age. Most Christians still use the public schools. They send their kids off at this very young age, and so by the time that the parents realize there's an issue, it's too late. The indoctrination has already taken effect. They've been sexualized. They've been indoctrinated religiously with this values clarification and neutral ethics, all those things have this effect. And so it's encouraging when we hear people that go to the schools and aren't affected, and that happens too, where there's a limiting of the effect. But I went to public schools, and I know from my experience, even in Scotland, that there was all of the bad things that I was introduced through the public schools, not in the home, not through media at the time, but through the peers at that public school.
Exactly.
I absolutely agree. And I tell you, I tell people I am a product of the public schools. I'm about as functionally illiterate as they get. And I really didn't start learning anything of any importance until I was almost 30, when I got a wake-up call from an FBI agent when he started telling me some stuff. And I went, whoa. You know, I was hitchhiking around the country, slumming and bumming, homeless, and an FBI agent picked me up. And after about riding with him for about 3 hours, it kind of set me on a whole new way of thinking there, and I started researching all of this different stuff, and it's been amazing what I began to learn when I stopped listening to these boneheads and start actually paying attention to what was going on. And what's really unique is my wife did such a great job raising our youngest that, I mean, here is a girl. She's been in college for 2 years. She's never taken a loan, no student grants. She works 7 days a week to pay her own way. And, I mean, I couldn't be any prouder as a father. It just tickles me to no end to know that we've produced a self-critical thinking, independent adult who's not afraid to stand up and speak out.
That's wonderful. You know, I think most parents want more for their children than they had for themselves, and yet all of these parents send their children off to school, and they are not getting the education that even they received. And with the drugs, whether it's pharmaceutical drugs or illegal drugs, and all the sexualization and all the stuff that you hear. And Mark said that we didn't hear the worst of it.
I know it. Anyway, I think I've taken up enough of your calls. You probably got other callers, so I'll go listen to the rest.
Well, thank you, Arthur. Appreciate your call. So there are things that we don't know, and Arthur brought up the incident of the food police taking a child's lunch, and apparently the lunch had a cheese sandwich in it and some fruit, banana, just a really good lunch, and they substituted it with something from a corporation, apparently a McDonald's corporation or something. And so you can clearly see the complicity between, excuse me, between corporations and the corporation of the government.
Well, that's what we're seeing. It's not just the, you know, we often worry about the left and their influence on children, but the public schools, when you have this, you know, private-public collaboration, you start to see the interests of corporations come into play. And so that's the big problem with charter schools. You know, if we get vouchers or charter schools, well, who do they start to serve? It might not be the interest necessarily of the state, but it could be the interest of some other private institution that would just be as harmful to us. And so that's an example of it, where public school meals are supplied by one company with a big contract and with multiple schools, and it becomes a big money game rather than where the choices of the individual are completely ignored.
Exactly. And you brought up charter schools, and that is a problem, but they have been sold as something better than the public school, when in fact they are pretty much the same, because somebody's going to be making some money. The other thing in Chicago, I live in the suburbs, is that there are a lot of schools that basically you have to apply to get into. They're not necessarily charter schools, but they just are in a better location. They have better teachers. And so you have, you know, maybe three spaces, and maybe 100 people are applying to get into the school. And so you have inequality in the educational system. And, of course, inequality is a natural thing. I mean, we're not all born equal. We're just supposed to be equal before the law. But you have this inequality, and you have a situation that is set up where you know, it's kind of a lottery system, and which I don't think is very fair. In other words, if you have the money or if you know somebody, then you can get into one of these schools, and if you don't, well, your kid has to go to whatever school they happen to be, in the district of.
Yeah, when the free market's ignored, you end up with all these weird scenarios of people trying to win lotteries and being upset when they don't get into the school that they won, whereas if there was a true free market, the it would be like the restaurant industry would have a multiplicity of choices at all different levels, you know? So we would have the, you know, McDonald's leveled up to, you know, the gourmet food level of education. The aspiration would be, I want to pay the best for my child, but you don't have that option, because we have this monopoly, which makes any private option more expensive and more difficult for parents to attend, because they're paying property tax to subsidize this other monopoly that they would rather not use. So all these solutions, like the charter school movement or vouchers, they don't solve any of the problems. And really, like most things in American politics, it really just shifts the money around a little bit to whoever that regime favors. And it's going to start when we have the charter school movement. It's going to start to favor large corporations to run, you know, huge amounts of them. And you're not going to see much of a difference between the schools and those schools and the public schools.
Right. And, of course, you're also going to see the corporations take over the schools, as we've seen them take over prisons. And it's all about money. If you get right down to it, it's all about money. And here in Illinois, a few years back, they decided that they would have a lottery, a gambling kind of a lottery. And I don't gamble. I don't think it's proper. And they said that they were going to use the proceeds from this big lottery to help the school system. And yet, I don't see any difference, any change. And, you know, I wonder what happened to that money. It's the same as the system of highways here. Years and years ago, apparently, they decided to put in toll booths just to pay for a temporary kind of a thing. They were supposed to be temporary. And yet we now have toll booths all over, and they're not temporary. And so now they're using it to pay pensions. So it's just a self, you know, it's just like dominoes. It just, you know, it is for the benefit of certain people. And my goodness, I guess the only way to really solve the educational system is to do what you've done. And yet the parents still have to pay property taxes and, in addition, educate their own children.
We're seeing, I call it educational welfare. I think it's an addictive thing, like welfare is. You know, you subsidize someone's, you know, the desire to work away by giving them welfare. You know, like corn subsidies, you know, you give people, you know, corn subsidies. Guess what every farmer is growing in his fields? And I think we get the same with education. And I think the sad thing is we're subsidizing parental abdication. So we make it the easiest option for people not to have an interest in their child's education, and they abandon that and they give it over to someone else. And that's my biggest problem with the subsidization with this educational welfare. It harms the family.
Sure. And then you have also the economic system, wherein so many families have both parents working. And so those families really don't have a choice, and they actually use the school system as a babysitter.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think I argue that they do have a choice if they made it their priority. You know, the homeschool movement isn't known for its massive, you know, wealthy people. There's lots of people that homeschool on a very small income because it's their first desire. So their last desire is a jet ski and a holiday, a vacation somewhere abroad. Their desire is their children first, and I think generally an excuse. There's real cases of poverty where it's very difficult, and there's a hope that the church and other homeschoolers could help. But really, the wealth excuse isn't the excuse. It's about their desire to live a lifestyle and abdicate in their responsibility.
Ah, very true. And also, it used to be that you started school in the first grade, but now they have kindergarten and preschool. It seems that earlier and earlier, these children are leaving the home, and it's so sad because, I don't know, when my first child went to school, I was very sad.
No, I can't imagine. I work at home, and I love the fact that my kids are with me. I can't imagine not seeing them every day when I get up, and the thought of them not being there would just break my heart. And I think it's good for them too. You know, they see dad working, see they're around. So that separation is something I think people should avoid, and their desire should be, how can I spend this short time that you have with your kids? You only have them for this, you know, set amount of time. They grow up real fast. Don't miss out on the best time with them when they're young.
Oh, exactly. And I remember, I just felt terrible when my children went to school. I just, and I tried to be very, very involved in the school system. as a room mother and that kind of thing, but they don't really encourage parental activity or parental involvement. Is that correct? No, they don't.
And their motive there is that they're serving their interest, which is the organization of the school, you know, their own interests and their careers and that, all that sort of stuff. There's good teachers, don't get me wrong. There's people that do love the kids, but they can't love the kids like you love them. You know, they can't replace what they need, which is parental love, in a classroom where there's 30 kids in the classroom and one teacher. It just doesn't happen. So, you know, want the best for them, and that is to have them home.
Exactly. All righty, we're going to our last break. We will be right back in 3 minutes with our guest, Colin Gunn.
Body is constantly fighting off the invaders in the way of bacteria, viruses, pathogens, and so forth. The colder weather is a winter wonderland for these guys. What you need to do all the time, but more so during this season, is to strengthen your immune system. And you can do it with Daniel Chapter 1's A and B Biotropins. Acidophilus and Bifidus from frozen human strain is your frontline defense to the invaders. For years, Daniel Chapter 1's customers have been using A and B Biotropins. They've found that they are so effective, it's common for them to do them regularly to keep their immune systems in tip-top shape. Protect yourself with A and B Biotropins. Call 800-504-5511. That's 800-504-5511. For a discount, use promo code 200A. That's promo code 200A.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like elderberry power, oregacillin, olive leaf capsules, grapefruit seed extract, and Resper 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Do you want to know our real political and cultural history instead of the corporate media or the government school version devised to provide heroes and extract obedience? Then you will want to read The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. Learn how Lincoln's War, the majority of which occurred in the South, squandered the lives of at least 622,000 citizens, centralized government power, and introduced Marxism and militarism. Republic Broadcasting's own Deanna Spingola authored The Ruling Elite. On her daily program and in her book, Deanna is not afraid to delve into controversial issues. Order it now at Amazon.com or on Deanna's website, Spingola.com. The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. History is Prologue, our blueprint for today. Discover our history to better understand contemporary events.
All righty, welcome back. Our guest today has been Colin Gunn, and his website is indoctrinationmovie.com. All right, tell us about your movie, tell us about your website, and I think everybody should buy your movie, obviously.
Well, it was designed so that it's not a chore to watch. It will fly by. It's a road trip-like movie when you travel with me in the yellow school bus with my 7 children and my wife across America. And so you get to see a lot of great sights. You know, America's a beautiful place. It's a lot of fun. traveling, and we visited all these great people. This isn't just an opinion piece. We went to the experts, John Taylor Garrow, who was Teacher of the Year in New York City and New York State. He talks about the public schools. Samuel Blumenfeld, we visited in Boston, the home of compulsory education. So we have all these examples of great people with real testimony, and the testimony is the best part. One of the stories is we covered is Columbine. We interviewed one of the Columbine fathers who gives a very moving testimony of why he's against the public schools now, and sees how the public schools were complicit with that awful situation. And so we really encourage people, if you know someone in the public schools, this is the film that you need to give them with the hope of rescuing their children. It's a good thing for you. If you're already homeschooling or private schooling, this is a tool for you as a tract to give to other people. So, yeah, you can find out more, and we're doing screenings around the country. So just go to indoctrinationmovie.com.
Oh, really? So where have your screenings been?
Well, all over the place, but we are doing a tour of Washington State and at the start of March, and then Northern California. And so if you want to host a screening, you just email me through the website, and we can help you set that up. It's free. We'll send you the DVD, and you can show it at your church or your home group or whatever you want. And if you want me to come out to host, you can arrange that as well. So we're just encouraging people to get this movie out there for us.
That's fabulous. Now, when you're going around doing these screenings, when you're involved, does your children go with you?
We take them when we can. If we have to fly, it's very expensive to get 10 air tickets. Really, most people only want to pay for one. So if it's in driving distance, I would take the kids. But for the Northern California one and Washington State, it'll just be me. But yeah, if you're willing to host and you're we're in Texas, so we can, if we're in driving distance, then we'd make it. The other option, of course, is to do a Skype. We've encouraged that with some success as well. So if people show it, they can get me on the Skype or you know, through the internet or, you know, on by the phone, and I'll talk after the screening, because obviously our film brings up a lot of questions that need to be answered.
How fun. Now, what do your children think about this movie?
they've seen it. They know what Daddy does, and they understand it. They say something very derogatory, which I won't repeat, about yellow school buses, which they call them. I won't call them and tell you, but it's they know that the enemy is the public schools, and that's part of the advantage. You know, they learn all these things at home that they would never learn in the public schools about the reality of America, this current crisis, all the things that are going on. They learn all about this. They're politically well-informed, so they know, they understand the film, I'm sure, at least the older ones do, very well.
Oh, it's been great having you on the program.
Well, thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
All righty, we'll have to do this again.
Thank you, Deanna.
Thank you. Bye-bye, listeners. I will talk to you on Monday. Have a very wonderful weekend.